8 miles from your nearest neighbor. You're overrun with skunks, possums, coyotes, bobcats. You use kerosene lamps for light. You cook on a wood stove, summer and winter. You're drinking homemade moonshine, washing with homemade lye soap. And your bathroom is 50 feet from the house, and you ask, should you move?
Yeah, I reckon you're right. Man, be a dang fool to leave all this.
Eventually, Cousin Pearl convinced Jed to take the family to Beverly Hills, where they moved into this big old mansion and began their new life. Of course, it took them a little while to adjust.
Uncle Jed, guess what? There's a whole nother house up here.
Guess who'll come down from there? Like as not, that belongs to somebody else.
There goes that spooky music, coming out of the walls again.
Boy, it's pretty.
Where'd you see this chicken?
Down by the cement pond.
Cement pond?
Uncle Jed, that pond is the fanciest thing you ever did see. Why, they are steps, so as the cattle can walk right down into it and get a drink. Granny, when we's done washing, can I go swimming here in the cement pond?
Of course not. I don't allow nobody splashed around in my wash water.
Ain't there no place else you can wash?
The cement pond's the only water we got. The place ain't got a well, it ain't got a creek. It ain't even got a rain barrel to catch what comes out of the sky. There goes that spook. Playing music in the walls again.
What are you doing, Granny?
That rascal who plays the music in the walls is right behind there. Put your ear against it. You can hear him beating them gongs clean as anything.
Granny, you can hear that coming from every wall in the house.
Must be a whole family of them. I can't get that green tablecloth off there. Save me.
Stuck on it?
Can't imagine anybody to lay a clean tablecloth on a sticky table.
Yeah, Granny, I reckon all women ain't as spick a span as you are when it comes to keeping house.
Here you are, Granny.
Oh, set it in the middle of the table so we'll see if these pot passers reach.
This here table is what you call a billiard table. And you know what I got figured out?
What?
This here rascal must be what you call a billiard.
Dang, if Jethro ain't right. Every time that music plays, somebody comes to the door.
Now, the Clampets certainly had lots of questions about Beverly Hills, and folks in Beverly Hills had a lot of questions about them. A lot of people ask about Aunt Pearl. Whose aunt was she, anyway? And what was the deal with Granny? We went to some old friends in Hooterville to find out the answer.
Oliver, why was Aunt Pearl Jethro's mother, but Uncle Jed was still just his uncle?
Everybody called her Aunt Pearl.
Well, I never called my mother Aunt.
Strictly speaking, Granny ain't your granny. She's Ellie's granny. You see, your ma, who is my cousin Pearl, is Ellie's great aunt on account of her ma, and my pa was brother and sister. And that makes us first cousins. Now, I married Granny's daughter, so Pearl, by marriage, that is to say, my pa would be... Well, anyway, I think you're a grandnephew.
Thank you. I think you're a swell uncle, too.
Well, thank you.
We recently caught up with Ray Charles in the studio and asked him if he knew the Clampets.
Did I know the Clampets? I love the Clampets. As a matter of fact, back in those days, we felt a little out of place. I mean, after all, at that time, the Clampets and my family were the only two black families living in Beverly Hills.
We'll be back with a look at everyone's favorite granny.
Granny. The name summons up many images. Cook, healer, and the heart of the Clampett clan. But how would she describe herself?
Honey?
When I was a girl back in Tennessee, I set so many boys' hearts on fire that they took to calling that neck of the woods the Smoky Mountains.
This is strictly for medical purposes. I can feel the rheumatism burning its way up my legs. I gotta build me a fire break across my stomach.
More?
That was from a left leg.
Howdy, Mr. Jackrabbit. Would you like to step into my kitchen?
We're ready to go, Mr. Drysdale, but I think this door is locked.
I guess you'll just have to stay here.
Stand aside, kid.
Sorry about the door, Mr. Drysdale. But when Granny's ready to go, she's ready to go.
It fell. You did that on purpose, Pearl Bodine. My pie can't fall. It can't, huh?
Drugstores.
Granny's right, Jethro. Put the truck away.
Yeah, but the sign on the front said drugstore.
I don't care what it says. I say they's not drugstores. They is whatnot shops.
Granny's right, Jethro. Put the truck away.
You can buy automobile tires, bed springs, chocolate sodas, but just let a doctor walk in like I done and ask for a simple healing drug. Like bull nettle root and wahoo bark, and they look at you like you were some kind of a nut.
Granny's right, Jethro. Put the truck away.
Well, maybe they don't sell bull nettle root or wahoo bark.
Then don't call them drugstores.
Hey, look what come from Aunt Pearl while you was at the drugstore.
I didn't get took to no drugstore. I got took to a whatnot shop.
Granny's right, Jethro. Put the truck away.
But the sign out front said drugstore.
Put the truck away.
I don't care.
Open the box, Granny.
If you can't believe a sign, what can you believe?
Granny's doctoring skills kept the whole family healthy, as Cousin Roy explains.
There was this one summer I just wasn't feeling good, but none of the doctors in Beverly Hills could find anything wrong with me. Granny diagnosed that my blood was angered. She had just the right remedy. She always had a cure for what ails you.
How do you cure warts?
Warts?
Stump water from lye. Mixed with ground up crawdad tails. Daubed on with the leg bone of a buzzard. Just before the moon comes up.
Granny? How many times have I told you it's against the law to cook moonshine in Beverly Hills?
I ain't cooking moonshine.
Just call it rheumatism medicine. Don't make it legal.
It ain't rheumatism medicine neither.
What is it?
I'm brewing up a love conjure.
Love conjure?
My great-great-granny left me the secret. But it's only to be used when a woman is too old to get a man any other way.
Oh, now, Granny, you're still a fine figure of a woman.
It ain't for me. It's for Ellie May.
Ellie May, you go sterilize my soul. We's gonna make medical history.
Well, what you mean?
I'm gonna perform the first head transplant.
Can I help?
You is gonna be the donor.
What's a donor?
Never mind. Take two aspirin and wash your neck.
Now, medicine was just one of the fields in which Granny was an expert. Her cooking was also legendary back home.
Oh, we're gonna have a doin' for the folks next door.
What you got planned?
Oh, possum stew, grits and jowls, some corn pone. To get the wrinkles out of their belly, I'll start them off with some nice hot owl soup. I'll bake them up a possum and plenty vittles more. See if you can guess what that is.
That is either a rain crow, barn owl, or yellowhammer.
Close.
Mud hen?
Right. That's a coot cobbler.
Coot cobbler? Granny, you are really putting a big pot in a little one today.
Cake of cider and a little Mountain Dew.
This ain't none of your hard cider, is it?
Not especially. Hullabaloo.
Now, Granny's cooking and medical skills were never fully appreciated by the Beverly Hills natives. But Granny never totally trusted city folks anyway. She never lost her taste for country living, and she never failed to bring a little taste of the country into her home.
Get Clement!
You scared her for a minute, didn't I?
The hungriest of hillbillies, Jethro Bodine.
Jethro Bodine, a big strapping country boy as hungry for life as he was for food. He took to Beverly Hills like a frog to a pond.
Shall we talk about your youngster who's entering our fifth grade? What is his name?
Jethro Bodine.
Bodine? Jethro.
No, ma'am. Jethro Bodine.
We always put the last name first. Now, mail, of course.
Yes, ma'am. Just got a letter this morning.
Oh, you are the fun-loving one, aren't you?
Yes, ma'am.
Jethro, have you been upstairs yet?
No, ma'am.
Then you've got a surprise coming to you.
What is it?
Your sweet.
So are you.
No.
Nobody loud in the kitchen while Granny's making her medicine.
Oh, I gotta get in there, Uncle Jet. I'm starving.
Well, you will hold out. You had an extra big lunch.
Yeah, but that was an hour and a half ago.
I thought you was gonna cut down on your eating.
I did. I'm down to 4 feedings a day now. 4, not counting meals.
What in tarnation? Do you call that dressing a turkey?
Well, I did the best I could. I didn't have no clothes that'd fit him. I borrowed them clothes from a little fella down the street. I've been thinking, I'm so good at ciphering and all. Maybe I ought to be a scientist. You know, like Albert Einstein, instead of a brain surgeon.
You'll see.
Joining us now is a man who is no stranger to satellites, Mercury astronaut Scott Carpenter. Scott, did Jethro have the right stuff to be an astronaut?
As you know, Jethro dabbled in various careers thanks to his Uncle Jed's generosity. One day, soon after my Mercury spaceflight, Mr. Clampett came down to Cape Canaveral and offered to make a big donation to NASA if we would take his nephew into the space program.
That's all he can think about anymore. Ain't nothing in his head but space.
You can say that again.
I didn't mean for it to come out the way it did. What I meant was the boy, I believe I let it stand.
Seems that Jethro had been trying to become an astronaut on his own at home.
And what's this get up for? You look like a big chicken.
I'm an astronaut. I'm going into outer space.
Well, you make sure that you're back in time for supper. I'm counting on you to eat a dozen or so of these stewing hens.
Well, I don't know, Granny. I got to blast off, make my re-entry, get snatched up by a helicopter, put down on an aircraft carrier, walk the red carpet, get a phone call from the president, get my debriefing, ride in a ticker tape parade, and hug and kiss 20 or 30 beautiful girls. Yep, I can make it for supper.
Of course, Jethro wasn't really astronaut material.
6. Four.
But he was persistent.
1. Blast off!
Where'd he go?
We've got a gentleman on the satellite right now who can tell us a whole lot about Jethro's undercover career, G. Gordon Liddy. So, Mr. Liddy, what happened with Jethro?
Well, I owed a banker in Beverly Hills a favor. His name was Drysdale. Now, he knew a kid who wanted to be an operative, and he asked if maybe I could give him a break. I gotta tell you, this kid was a little green.
Oh, I might have been followed. I use an old double knot spy trick and disguise my voice.
Enthusiastic, yes, but not what I really call spy material.
Didn't know it was me, did you? This here's my smokescreen maker. This here's my all-slick spreader. Suppose they goes to shooting at me. Then I give them this. Now then, miss. Doggone! They're
goes my secret radio again. Hey, now, hold on there, mister. Don't try nothing unless you want to get this iron hat skimmed at you. When I say iron, I mean iron.
Well, make a long story short, I used this kid on one job. It was a hotel in Washington. Enough said. I have no idea what this kid ended up doing.
Well, one person who knows what Jethro ended up doing is our field reporter, Clampett expert Charles Bernard.
So, Jethro, you actually became a doctor?
Yes, sir. Always wanted to be a doctor.
But you also wanted to be a folk singer, a movie star, and a double-knot spy.
Well, I was younger then, and once the Berlin Wall fell, there wasn't much call for double-knot spies.
So, what's life like for Dr. Jethro Bodine?
Well, I'm settled down now. I was kind of wild in the old days. People used to fashion me as a bit of a playboy.
Is that a bachelor pad or is that a bachelor pad, huh?
In tarnation?
Here, Uncle Jed, come meet your kitty cats.
Is this the uncle with all the catnip?
No, ma'am, just money.
My kitty cats?
Well, these two is yours. This here big one is mine.
Jethro.
Well, I couldn't find another one this size. Don't you settle for the two regulars?
Those days are long gone. I started me a family now.
So these are your children?
Oh, yes, sir. This is my youngest daughter, Daisy. And over here is Ulysses, and this is Clam, and that's little Norbell. Of course, the triplets, William, Bill, and Billy. And then Amelia, little Jed, Maud, Robin. Of course, Granny Jr. And then Mike and Tino and Eddie. And over here is my little Angel and my little Pumpkin.
And what are their names?
Angel and Pumpkin. And then we got Lori and Pixie and Dixie. We're going to have this frame filled early next month. We's expecting.
You've got quite a large family, Jethro.
Well, Granny always said I had a healthy appetite.
Dr. Bodine, Mr. Peterson's temperature is up to 105.
Well, for God's sakes, hurry up and put a skunk on that man's head. Then take him down to the lab and wrap him in rotweed and bobcat claw and roll him in swamp water. If his fever persists, he's going to have to sleep upside down in the well. Now, hurry up. Go on. Now, where were we?
One last thing. Any regrets?
I don't have any regrets. But you know how people say they never forget their high school sweetie? Well, seeing as how I have a sixth grade education, the one I can't forget is my first girlfriend. Sometimes I wonder what life would have been like with her.
Her?
Shoot! Miss Jane! Miss Jane Hathaway!
I accept the mantle of responsibility with which you have cloaked my shoulders, and I shall so conduct myself that if this great financial institution shall last 1,000 years... This was their finest hour.
Oh, please, just let me take a peek at him. Oh, I'm ring-a-ding-ding over that man.
And that man is ring-a-ding-ding over yours truly.
You?
Me?
Dash Riprod?
You're not aware of the new trend, are you? What you have is on the way out, and what I have is on the way in.
My dog is whatever Miss Jane's got. It's hid like a quail in a thicket.
Clockmaster Hathaway.
Yes.
Did I ever tell you that you look remarkably like a condor?
It's the nicest thing anyone has ever said to me. Something amiss, Chief? Chief, my woman's intuition tells me all is not well.
You are fired.
I was right.
As soon as you drive me up to the Clampets.
A reprieve. Don't be alarmed, Chief. This is just for the Clampets. I have no intention of disrupting office discipline with my seductive appearance.
What a remarkable change.
3 hours in the beauty salon.
Tell me, are you busy tonight? Because if you're not, I'd like you to work and make up those 3 hours.
Nobody was really surprised when Jane Hathaway turned state's evidence and helped convict her boss, Milburn Drysdale.
Chief, Mr. Clampett is your friend, your largest depositor, your benefactor. How can you undercut him?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. How?
I refuse to take any part of your nefarious schemes.
Then you're fired.
I quit.
Oh, no, you don't. I fired you.
Very well. That way I get severance pay.
You're not fired. Now, quit.
On second thought, I think I'll stay around and see what happens.
Okay. And get up to the clampers and find out where they're going to drill. There'll be a big, fat reward in it for you.
My reward will be seeing you get the reward you deserve for your greed and avarice.
Yeah. It should run into millions.
Well, it turns out that Drysdale had been skimming money from people for years. The Clampets were just the tip of the iceberg. Also, people wonder what ever happened to Jane Hathaway. Well, she was relocated by the Witness Protection Program, and she's got a new life somewhere. She left everything and everyone behind, including Jethro.
Jethro? Don't you think you should reward me for my efforts?
Well, all I got with me is a nickel and two pennies, but you can have that.
There are other ways for a handsome young man to reward a young lady.
There is?
Yes. Tell me, do you enjoy kissing?
Well, I like to kiss girls.
Well, then, I'm going to close my eyes, and I want you to enjoy yourself. Go ahead, Jethro. Enjoy yourself.
Yes, ma'am. Come on, Duke. Thank you for the kiss.
Jane Hathaway was perhaps the most loyal woman I ever met in my whole life. I was just too blind to see how wonderful she really was. You know, maybe she were the one that got away.
Like many beautiful women, Nellie Mae Clampett is a walking contradiction. On one hand, she's a sensitive soul, a friend to all animals. On the other, she's a spirited tomboy who could wrestle you to the ground with one hand tied behind her back. We'll be visiting with her in just a few moments, but first, let's take a look at Jed Clampett's lovely daughter, Ellie Mae.
Now, Ellie Mae, I don't reckon that's the way a young lady comes down the steps in Beverly Hills, is it, Mr. Drysdale?
Oh, not as a rule, no.
Oh, I can come down the other way. Watch this.
I'm ashamed of you. Running off from Miss Hathaway?
I didn't run away from Miss Hathaway.
What'd you climb up here for?
To cut a fork for that new store-bought slingshot she brought me.
Did she bring you a slingshot?
Fanciest thing you ever did see. Look at that.
A store-bought lace-trimmed double-barrel slingshot.
Ain't it a doozy? I don't know how good I can aim it, but it'll sure throw a heap of rocks.
Oh, Ellie Mae, wouldn't you like to try to hit one of the targets?
I sure would.
Ah, which gun would you like to use?
Don't want no gun.
Ellie Mae don't much cotton to fire on.
Don't tell me she's going to try to hit something.
Pull!
Here. Don't you know your paw is sick?
Yes, ma'am, Granny. But don't worry. They won't catch nothing.
Oh, you sure look right. Oh, Huggin, you don't have to wear boys' clothes to have fun with boys.
May you promise me you wouldn't wrestle.
I ain't been wrestling.
Then what have you been doing in your ball gown?
Doing what I'm supposed to do, playing ball.
We recently talked to two of Ellie Mae's most persistent suitors, actor Dash Riprock and Sonny Drysdale, stepson of jailed banker Milburn Drysdale.
Ellie Mae and I were very close.
Well, you're the prettiest extra I've seen.
Why, thank you. After I've been an extra for a while, can I be a star?
Well, I think you can. If you can handle the love scenes.
Well, I try. I don't know just a whole heap about such things.
Would you like to learn?
Yes, sir.
Well, this is lesson number one. Say, prune.
Prune.
Again.
Again.
Just say prune.
Prune.
That's it.
I don't understand why you'd have Dash Riprock talk about Ellie Mae. Everyone knows she and I were linked romantically. Was in all the papers.
You want to come into the parlor?
What are we going to do in there?
Talk about the birds and the bees.
Well, Scooby-Doo.
I don't think he meant newspapers. He meant scandal sheets.
Ellie and I wanted to keep our affair a secret.
I think it was even a secret to her.
Because Ellie Mae was head over heels for me.
Oh, that's a laugh. Sonny was the one who was head over heels.
Dash and Sonny were just two of many who tried to win Ellie Mae's heart. But Ellie Mae had always been too much of a free spirit to settle down and get married. Today, even though she's no longer living in a mansion and wealthy, she's very happy on the beautiful grounds of her modest home. Charles Bernard caught up with her, doing what she loves doing best, tending to her critters.
Nice place you got here, Ellie.
Why, thank you.
I see you still love your animals.
Oh, shucks. Critters are easy to love. Why, there's nothing sweeter than the smell of a yard full of critters on a hot summer afternoon.
Go.
Hiya, Ellie.
Oh, morning, Dominic.
See you down at the lake.
Okay, bye, Dominic.
On to the lake. Okay.
See? We's just one big happy family.
Well, the Clampets were always one big happy family.
Well, except times I had to wrestle down Jethro.
I'm just as strong as Jethro.
You ain't neither.
I am so.
You ain't neither.
I am so too. You want to wrestle.
Don too.
Now here. Jethro. A person can get crippled from a hole like that. Get up from there.
I can't, Uncle Jeff.
But we was all real close. Especially me and my pa.
Ellie Mae? You're getting too big to wrestle with boys.
I'm as big as Jethro.
Big that way, I mean, growed up. You're a young lady now. You gotta start minding your manners and fixing yourself up real nice and wearing dresses.
Paul, folks would call me a sissy.
Well, ain't sissy for girls to act like girls. You see, Ellie, I raised you like a boy, and I was wrong to do it. You're pretty.
Oh, Paul.
I know you don't like it when I say that, but you like it when the young fellas around here commence saying it, and they will. Only they'll probably be using words, fancy words I won't even understand. But Ellie Mae, ain't nobody can ever tell you how pretty you really are, Sidney. You're the living picture of your mom.
So, Ellie, you think you'll ever settle down and get married?
Well, you know, I was courted by some awful swell fellas. But I never found anybody that I loved more than my pa or my critters.
Hey, Ellie, look at the size of this fish.
Excuse me a moment, Ellie, but the way that bear talks, it's incredible.
I know. When I first met him, he stuttered.
Well, thanks for inviting us into your home. It's great to see you doing so well, especially after all your father's financial difficulties.
Well, that wasn't Paul's fault. It was that rascal Mr. Drysdale who lost Paul's money.
It's Super Baker!
Chief!
Oh, Miss Holloway, how do you like this drapery material?
Isn't it a cheerful design?
Chief!
I'm having the whole office done in money green. A very restful color.
Chief! Get a grip on yourself. Something terrible has happened.
The bank's been robbed.
Mr. Drysdale, it does not concern money.
Don't scare me like that.
I sure hope I don't get into trouble with the government.
Relax. If there's any problem, Miss Hathaway will take the blame.
And since you have failed to make your final payment promptly, we are forced to repossess your automobile. Sincerely, your friendly banker, Milburn Drysdale.
Chief, you're telling your own brother you're repossessing his car?
Well, that is a little cold, isn't it? P.S. Regards to Betty and the babies. I figured out a way to get my $50,000 back.
Wonderful.
Huh? It's coming out of your salary at $10 a week. And to pay me back, you'll have to live another 100 years.
Chief, you're the greediest, most avaricious man I have ever known.
I'll drink to that.
Milburn Drysdale is currently serving time for mismanaging funds at his Beverly Hills Bank. Hundreds of the bank's investors were completely wiped out, including one J.D. Clampett. But did this destroy Jed Clampett? Where is Jed Clampett today? How did he cope with the loss of his fortune? We'll find out the answers to that question and other questions in a few moments. But first, let's take a closer look at this man of simple, quiet dignity.
Well, doggies.
Howdy, ma'am. This here is Jed Clampett. I'd like to talk to Luke Short. Oh, he runs a general store back in Sibley. Sibley? Oh, that's just a couple of wagon greasings up the road from Buckner. Buckner? Well, yeah, that's just a hoot and a holler south of Mincy. Well, ma'am, Mincy is the county seat.
Ellie Mae, I told you not to go friendlying up with that turkey bird so close before Thanksgiving.
Well, it wasn't me, Pa. It was Elmer here.
Was it Elmer chucked him in that sack?
Well, he didn't do it alone. I kind of helped him.
Kind of helped him take him out and put him back in his pen.
Well, he's awful smart, Pa, and friendly, too. Well, I learned him to shake hands.
Well, Ellie, he ain't likely to be going into politics.
I'll just take him out of the sack, and he can shake hands with you.
I don't want to shake his hand. What's going to happen to him is bad enough without him thinking a friend done it to him.
Into one whole heap of flour, stir two middling amounts of buttermilk, and add a smidgen of... I don't understand.
Well, them's mountain measurements. A smidgen is just a teensy little bit, just like that. Three smidgens makes one pinch. Four pinches equals one little bit. Four little bits equals one middling amount. Three middling amounts equals one right smart, and it takes five right smarts to make a whole heap. Doggies.
How's it taste, Uncle Jed?
Pitiful.
You see, Mr. Clampett, I've been giving a lot of thought to your problem of keeping busy. Now, a friend of mine had the same problem. He solved it by building this boat.
How'd he get it in there?
He built it in there. It took him 3 years.
He could have built it a lot quicker outside the bottle.
Yes. He wanted to build it in there.
Why?
It's his hobby.
Well, how's he going to get it out?
He doesn't want to get it out.
How's he going to sail it?
He won't. It's just to look at.
Be easier to look at outside the bottle.
Yes, but...
seems to me he wasted a boat and a bottle.
Think of all the absorbing hours he spent.
Yeah, he wasted them, too.
Howdy, Pa. This here's all friends of Duke and me.
Sweet doggies.
Everybody thought I was the smart one in the family. But my Uncle Jed could really turn a phrase.
That poor girl is lower than a hog's chin on market day.
Boy, you are green enough to stick in the ground and gruel.
He was such a liar then, he used to have to get somebody else to call his dog for him. He's so lazy, he's got to lean up against something to bark. Granny is happy as a gopher in soft dirt. Doggies, that's dropping a rusty bucket down my well. Her nerves is tighter than a high string on a $2 fiddle. You're showing more colors than a red rooster in a pumpkin patch.
Love your country, yours, sweetie.
My grandpa had another saying. Old violins makes the sweetest music. Of course, you have to have the right bow. That's a witty saying, Jed.
Not too witty.
Well, it beats well doggies.
As we've seen, Beverly Hills was a whole lot different than the Clampett's country home.
Hey, what are you going to shoot? Some more of them skeets?
Oh, no. Today we're going to be shooting game.
Oh, praise be. We can use some fresh meat. Try and get a possum or a squirrel.
Well, according to Mr. Drysdale, we're going to be shooting some game called golf.
Entire nation is a
dog. Well, I don't rightly know, Granny, but they must be thicker than crows in a corn patch around here, because Mr. Drysdale says everybody in Beverly Hills shoots them.
Ain't never seen no strange critters running around. They must live in holes in the ground like a gopher.
Yeah, I reckon maybe you're right. Just the other day, I heard him say he shot 9 holes of golf and got 57.
There must be a mess of them to a hole.
What's that, Millie Mae?
Well, these here's what you call golf bags.
Doggy. Sure is a heap fancier than a gunny sack for toting game.
You know something, Jed? Them golfs must be about gopher size. If Mr. Drysdale can get 57 of them in one of these.
Golfs ain't nothing like gophers, Granny. Them things can fly.
Fly?
Golfs? Yes, sir, Uncle Jed. Mr. Drysdale said the fellow we're shooting with today, he got 4 birdies yesterday.
else. Must be mighty funny looking critters. Fly like a bird and live in the ground like a gopher.
Well, the only thing I know is that them rascals is sure hard to kill. After you shoot them, you gotta club them.
Didn't you say?
Why, Granny? The big boxes are just full of golf clubs.
Look at this, Uncle Jed.
That's a wicked looking knob on this club. You could brain a bear with that.
Ain't that one wicked? Look at this one. That knob is solid iron.
Oh, here's something else Mr. Drysdale sent over to us. He said we're supposed to wear these things when we shoot golfs.
All right, doggies, Jethro, them golfs must be the toughest little critters there is. First you shoot them, then you club them, then you stomp them with spikes.
Jed Clampett is a loving father who's ridden a financial roller coaster. Rich man, poor man, family man, or just a hillbilly? Well, we asked my friend songwriter Hoyt Axton what he thinks about it.
Well, you know, some people just want to dismiss Jed Clampett as a hillbilly. Well, if by hillbilly they mean a reverent and moral man, if by hillbilly they mean a thrifty man of simple needs and common sense, if by hillbilly they mean an honest man who finds more wealth in friendship than all the money in the world, and if by hillbilly they mean a family man who considers his kinfolk to be more valuable than the riches of Beverly Hills, then I guess yes. My friend Jed Clampett is a hillbilly, and maybe this whole world could use a few more like him.
You know, today Jed Clampett lives on a small spread near where he was born, and for over 20 years he's granted no interviews until now.
Mr. Clampett, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Well, thank you, thank you. It's always nice to make a new acquaintance, and call me Jed.
All right, Jed. Let me start by saying you look great.
You know, Granny always used to say that there's three things in life that improve with age. Corn squeezings, possum stew, and a Clampett.
So what's your life like these days, Jed?
Well, ain't changed much. Spend half my days a-settin' in a whittlin', the other half a-whittlin' and a-settin'.
Well, now the question that's on all America's lips, are you comfortable? Do you have any money left?
I had plenty enough money to buy this little piece of land. You see, it ain't money that's the real measure of a man's worth. As a matter of fact, I feel richer now in these hills than I did in the Beverly Hills. See, I was born poor, and I die poor, and all that stuff in the middle is just my life.
So you bear no grudge against Drysdale?
I never bear no grudge against any man. The way I see it, I lost some money. But Mr. Drysdale lost his freedom. I don't think I'm bad off at all.
What keeps Jed Clampett happy?
Oh, having a good hunting dog. Knows the difference between a skunk and a duck. Having a good whittling stick, sharp knife, staying close with my family. Once a week, I walk into town and I ring up Ellie Mae on the telephone. And Jethro, he brings his young'uns out pretty often. Maybe a little too often.
Is there anything you do miss?
I miss Granny. Yeah, I still carry her in my heart. She was a fine figure of a woman.
When you first left Beverly Hills to come back here, was...
Well, doggies, is it that late already?
Excuse me, sir.
Young fella, I hope you're in the mood for some fun because you're going to meet some nice folks. Come on, let's go.
Say goodbye to Jed and all his kin. They would like to thank you folks for kindly dropping in. You're all invited back again to this locality to have a heaping helping of their hospitality. Hillbilly, that is. Y'all sit a spell. Take your shoes off. Y'all come back now. You hear? Thank you.
You're listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, Paso Robles.